Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb. Monday edition, playoff edition, NFL. As we get you rolling, as we get started this week, leading into the championship games this weekend. What is the good of the day?
I got two for you.
Two, all right.
Yeah, we're going to start off with one. It was a story you gave me last night, and I couldn't believe it, and I can't wait to hear your take on it. And that is the fact that a sophomore from University of Alabama, Nick Dunlap, became the first amateur in 33 years to win a PGA Tour event.
He was the first one since Phil Mickelson won the Tucson Open as a
91.
I want to say junior or senior at Arizona State. But yeah, 1991, I think he was a junior at the time. And Nick Dunlap is a 20-year-old sophomore. I'm amazed this happens. I'm amazed that there are people who have done this. Scott Verplank did this in the 80s too. He won the won a PGA Tour event as an amateur. I'm amazed at it because if there's one sport that I feel like you really need to be seasoned a little bit, it's golf. Like, very few people can come like Tiger Woods. I mean, Tiger Woods never did this.
Right. And I fully can get, you know, hey, round one, round two.
Sure.
You're just going to play. You're not even considered in the mix until you start being in the mix. And I think that's why his round four score was so high comparative to what he did the first 3 days. And now, I say so high, he shot a 70.
Yeah, he's not, it's funny because, again, some of these amateurs get to these things and they're blown away by the moment, but he's had experience in big tournaments before. Sometimes you just go, let's go play. I don't have nothing to lose. I'm not making any money. You know, I'm not making any prize money. I'm not trying to earn my card. I'm just an amateur out here just having fun. Let's go out and shoot a 60 in Saturday's round. But it also, when the pressure starts to get to you, when you realize you could win it, when you actually realize that no one remembers who comes in second or third or fourth, and that the only way you can capitalize on this if you actually do win it and you come through and you do, that's pretty remarkable. It's pretty remarkable. And here's the fun part of this. When Phil Mickelson won in Tucson in 1991, he didn't go back home to Arizona State with a Nike deal or a Callaway deal or any of that stuff. He had to forfeit the $180,000 prize money if he wanted to stay a collegiate golfer at Arizona State. He knew the money would be there. He was going to be a sought-after pro the moment he announced he would be a pro. But he had to put off the today's wealth for tomorrow's fortune. Wanted to stay an amateur. Stayed an amateur. Nick Dunlap is going back to Alabama with even more NIL money. Probably more than he's making right now because he is a very, very accomplished golfer. But now he can really capitalize on the NIL money.
He is forfeiting the $1.5 million prize money.
Yep.
Which is amazing to think about. What did you say Phil's was? 91?
Phil's was $180,000.
And here we are 33 years later, and it's $1.5
million. Yeah, and somebody pointed out last night that the $180,000 that Phil forfeited in 91, in today's money, is about $400,000. So even in today's money, it's not even close to what he forfeited.
Now, here is a positive for Nick Dunlap. Is that with this win, he does automatically qualify for the Masters and the U.S. Open.
That's right.
And since he is retaining his amateur status, he also gets to go to the British Open.
That's right. So he's going to have a very, very busy 2024 season.
Now, he was slated to play in Torrey Pines this week, but I think he himself said no, he's going to take a step back.
Now, I want to make it clear, the American Express didn't exactly have a star-studded field, but he still shot 29 under.
29
what is this,
under.
A pitch and putt course? What are we talking about
here? I had to double-check
that number.
There's
three courses in this thing.
I had to double-check that number. I said 29 seems really high. I mean, a big number, I mean. Not the score itself. I said 29. That seems like a big number to be under par by.
This is like if you go to a course and they go, there's nothing out of bounds and no water. You're like, okay.
Well, it is a desert.
Right? I mean, really, seriously, how easy are these three golf courses in La Quinta that these guys are 20-year-olds shooting a 60 on a Saturday and wins this thing at 29 under?
Yeah.
That's crazy. By the way, when you watch his putt go through, he handled himself with a lot of composure. I would have freaked I would have started crying and weeping and yelling and screaming. But, you know, like Justin Thomas was in the field. I mean, there were some golfers in the field.
Maybe even turn to a few of the pros and go, I own you. I own you. I'm buying a red shirt with black pants. Coming soon.
Yeah. Good job, Nick Dunlap from Huntsville, Alabama. What's the second good of the day?
The second good, you know what? I hesitated on talking about this, but I've seen too many videos, and I just really enjoy this guy's spirit. And that was Jason Kelce.
Okay, I want to talk about this because I'm glad you put it in the good, but it's not good for a lot of people who were pulling for the Bulls, above the Bills yesterday.
Right. But I did enjoy him mingling with the Bills Mafia, drinking shots out of a bowling ball. I did enjoy just the enthusiasm, if I can say that, him going full. I don't know if you know who the comedian Bert Kreischer is.
Yeah.
The Machine. Him going full the Machine in the stands with his shirt off, just screaming and yelling. And listen, you know what? And he made a little girl's dream. I kind of like that.
Well, explain that one.
That little girl, he spotted a little girl was holding a Taylor Swift poster. He went down into the stands, picked her up, and brought her up so she could wave to Taylor Swift.
Oh, how sweet. He did that?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty sweet.
And then took pictures with a bunch of fans who were stationed around the suite. It's one of those suites, you know, where there's like a door that opens up and they have like outdoor seating.
Go out.
So, yeah, and he did that shirtless.
I thought that was kind of cool. But again, he's in enemy territory.
He is in enemy territory.
He's rooting for his brother that's had a tremendous amount of success, almost spoiled with success, having Patrick Mahomes as his quarterback. So I got the online roll of eyes to the Jason Kelce celebration. But somebody did point out that I think is really cool. Like, I love my brother. My brother's a year younger than me. I love my brother. He's my partner in crime. But I don't even know if I would be that excited if we were in the same profession and he had way more success than I did. I still would be like, I don't know, man. Really? God, mom and dad are going to be going to another Super Bowl or another AFC title game with him. Yeah, exactly. He doesn't seem to have any sibling rivalry with Travis.
No, that's kind of a good thing. I mean, obviously it's a good thing, but I don't know what the angle was. I don't know if he was just there just purely to root for his brother, or maybe he's angling to be that personality. We know he's a great personality.
Well, that's where these guys, here's the thing. That's where these guys make their secondary money.
Yeah.
Right. It's like they retire and then they come up with a persona of being, they can talk on TV, they can do this, they can do that. And so a part of this for him is this ability to be a personality. His podcast is super popular that he does with his brother. And he's now forging his way into a new business, which is new media. And, you know, look, these guys are young when they retire. They're in their 30s. They're not sitting around drinking margaritas on the beach all day with the wealth. They want to do something.
Yeah.
That's why they all get into broadcasting.
They may take, you know, like, they may take a few months off and say, I don't have to do anything.
But that's not their life. That's not that's a vacation. That's not the rest of their life. Their life is, what do I do now? Of course, if I've managed my money well, I never have to work again. But I'm 36. Like, after a while, like, especially when you're a man, you feel like you're not being productive to society. Now, being productive talking about NFL football on network TV might not be the same as building houses like former President Jimmy Carter, but it's something. You got to do something. But how do you stand out in a world of outspoken personalities? Well, you have a brother that's dating a pop star. You have a very popular podcast. You go crazy like this. This is the first time I've ever seen Jason Kelce do something like this. And you become a personality. You either do your own media or you get somebody to pay you to be this sort of personality.
That's not the first time you've seen him go crazy.
I've never seen him take off his shirt winter weather.
Yeah, I've never seen him take off his shirt in winter weather, but I have seen him become the character. And I just
I'm saying I've never seen him on the road with his brother where he's out of the tournament and his brother's still in it, and he's like he was in Buffalo doing this.
Yeah.
Like, let's not mistake. Like, he's out there, he's not with his people. He was not at Arrowhead. He was in enemy territory. He was with a bunch of people that shoveled snow for hours and hours and hours to watch his brother score two touchdowns against them. And he was becoming a heel. Right? I mean, let's not pretend this was a fun, hey, everybody, let's not, Jason Kelce, everybody. He was in enemy territory doing this. When was the last time you saw him do that? He was always the quintessential center professional, guy that, you know, hey, look, I never saw him in any other environment. But again, don't get me wrong, Travis Kelce's never played on the road, I don't think, either in the playoffs. Maybe early in his career.
Yeah, maybe once or twice.
You know, when he wasn't really Travis Kelce yet. But this is like the first, and so what happens is this persona comes out that networks are attracted to, that media entities are attracted to.
Yep.
And that's what you got to do. That's what you got to do, because there's plenty of guys that want to do this for a living post career, and you got to stand out from all of them. So I give him all the credit in the world. That's why I'm glad it's a good because I think there's a second life for Jason Kelce. He's well spoken. He's smart. His brother's dating a super pop star. There's a lot to be attracted to if you're a network executive. So, yeah, that was pretty fun to watch. But if I was in Buffalo, I probably would have thrown a snowball at him.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, continuing the good, the bad, and the dumb playoff edition NFL. Let's get to the bad of the day then.
Oh, Tony, the bad of the day. It's not really bad. It's bad because I think I need to attempt this myself.
Okay.
So there is a guy who chronicled a week of himself eating nothing but the Costco hot dog combo.
Okay.
The $1.50 combo.
Right.
That was his meals. He ended up for the entire week, 7 days, he had 29 hot dogs, which cost him a whopping $43. And on top of that, he ended up losing 4 pounds.
He lost 4 pounds eating that?
Yeah.
Doing that? Well, okay. What? What did he eat at breakfast, lunch, and dinner, or just eat that?
Yeah, I think maybe just lunch and dinner.
Maybe
he didn't have it for breakfast. I'm trying.
So there is a criteria here that we do need to know. If he lost 4 pounds, he didn't lose 4 pounds because he ate that. He lost 4 pounds because maybe he just ate that and nothing else.
Oh, no, that's all he ate. He ate that.
I know,
but
he didn't have another meal. Like, he didn't do it 3 times a day. Like, maybe if he did do it, did he do it breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Well, let's see, 7 into 29. So he had. I mean, he ended.
Did he eat anything with the hot dog?
Well, probably.
Did he have chips?
No.
Don't assume. Like, we don't know.
No.
So if he's eating a hot dog, that's not. That's not 1,000 calories.
Yeah, it's just a hot dog combo. It's the hot dog and the soft drink.
Soft drink. So
besides did he put extra relish on it? I don't know.
Okay. So, again, these are important things to know because I don't want to say that the guy lost 4 pounds eating this, like he ate 7 of them a day. He probably had a hot dog, which is a couple hundred calories. You know, it's on the high end, but it's but it's not like 1,500.
No, but he did average about 4 a day. Yeah, because he had.
So he did.
He had 29 hot dogs in the 7 days.
All right, so he averaged 4 a day. So how many calories are in a regular hot dog?
I have no idea.
See, that's the thing you got to figure out. Because you started this segment by saying I should try it because he lost 4 pounds. What is the criteria for how he lost weight? Because if he's drinking real soda, that's impressive. He's drinking diet soda, not so much. If he's including chips with it, that's impressive. If there's no chips involved, not so much. If he's eating 4 hot dogs a day instead of 6, that's not as much. But if he lost weight eating 7, that would be. It's, you know why I'm bringing this up? Only reason I'm bringing up holes in the theory is because of Morgan Spurlock's Supersize Me. Because Morgan Spurlock did this 30-day McDonald's thing where he might have over-exaggerated the amount of calories he had eaten. Because there were people that went, well, I'm doing the math, and I did everything on the menu, and it was nowhere close to the amount of calories he claimed to have eaten by eating McDonald's 3 times a day. It's the same kind of idea. So that's what I'm wondering. And he only did it for a week. Like, I would have been more impressed if he did it for a month, and then he lost, like, 20 pounds. That would have been more interesting. Maybe he exercised more than he did. Maybe he was like, I'm eating these, but I'm also going to the gym every single day. I'm not going to write that in my report.
No, I was just thinking the hot dogs would run right through them.
I would think so, too. I don't know why people try these things.
What
was his point? Did he have a point to doing this?
Honestly, social media clout probably.
That's probably it.
Just saying, hey, you know what? I just spent 7 days eating nothing but the Costco hot dog combo.
This is where society is falling apart. People are posting anything, even if it's crap.
Yep.
That's it.
So I got to get on. We got to get on board with this. We got to figure out something that's just stupid.
I kid you not, Ron. I saw a TikTok or Reels, whatever it is. I don't even differentiate anymore.
No, they're all the same.
There was a guy who apparently does wealth stuff, right? He literally did a reel where he explained the benefits of having a private jet to flying commercial. As if none of us had any idea what the benefits of flying your own plane is.
Yeah.
Like, he's literally staring at the camera going, and one of the great things about having a private jet, you get to leave on your own time. That's very critical.
Oh, really? I'm
like, really? You mean your own plane has a schedule that you have to catch? You mean to tell me if you miss your plane, you have to wait for the next your plane to arrive? Wow. And he goes, the other benefit is that there are a lot of airports that are not major airports. So I can land my plane, let's say, in a town outside of Dallas, instead of landing at Dallas International Airport where it's a lot more busy. Oh, you don't say. You mean you pretty much can take your plane to any airport you want in the country? Let's write that down, honey. That's something we got to consider when we're buying our next private jet. This is the kind of stuff that really, like, what it is people going, throw anything out there, even if it's nonsense, garbage, yeah, stupid. Just give me content, content, content. I don't care about the quality.
You know what that reminds me of? I watched a plane video yesterday, and it was just, all it was titles like, oh, I'm poor. Right? Because it literally was a person coming onto a plane and then met by a flight attendant and said, oh, so-and-so, your suite is right over here. Literally takes them to like a partitioned room on a plane.
Right.
That has a couch. No, or it has a lazy boy recliner, has a TV. Guy comes in and says, would you like the champagne on the table? And pours him a big old glass of champagne. And then, he's taking off. And then at some point in the night, because I think he was flying somewhere to India, but at some point, the lady comes in and she makes his bed for him.
Makes his bed, yeah. I've seen this. It's crazy.
But it was just, just the fact that it was, it was just titled, oh, I'm poor.
This is why I'm never going to Australia. I'm never going.
Because you need that. You need that room.
I'm serious. My brother-in-law travels around the world. He goes all over the place around the world. He's not married. He's a lawyer. That's how he spends his money. He travels, right? And he's got airline mileage. But I'm like, you were on a plane to Dubai? You were on a plane to Bangladesh? Where are you going? How long is that flight? He goes, 18 hours. I go, 18 hours? What are you kidding me? I'm never getting one of these tubes unless it has a bed, a shower, a kitchen. Somebody's making me lasagna, a fridge stocked with my favorite beverages I don't have to pay $5 for. That's the only way I'm going on a long plane flight. So I'm never going to be able to go to see kangaroos in Sydney or wherever it is.
No,
I'm never going to these places.
Hey, but when I'm ready to go, teleportation is invented.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Just beam me over there.
All right, what is the other bad? Do we have a second bad?
No,
or
we don't
just
have
a
second
dumb?
Bad. Now we just have the dumb.
What's the dumb?
The dumb of the day. I might catch flack for this. I don't know, but I seem like I'm in the same position as everyone else. But it's I'm going to change it up just a little bit. It's the Zapruder type film that we have right now of Caitlin. Can't say her name. Caitlin Clark's flop.
Caitlin Clark's flop against Ohio State?
Well, not against Ohio State. Ohio State fan.
Okay, well, it was against Ohio State. That was the game.
Right, but it was the
post game where she got hit and fell down.
She got hit and fell down, but when you watch a reverse angle, some other film, those little slowdown, you could totally tell that she extended her arms and then fell to the ground and then had to be helped off the court.
All right, so we got to describe this because sometimes we do this thing where we assume everyone's watching the same thing. She was coming off the court.
Iowa played against Ohio State. Ohio State beat Iowa. I don't know if it was a massive upset, but it was enough of an upset for fans to storm the court. They probably were just looking for a reason. As fans were getting onto the court, like all the fans do, the visiting team is trying to leave. As Caitlin Clark was leaving, a fan and Caitlin Clark ended up bumping into each other. Fan meant no malice whatsoever because she wasn't even paying attention, probably couldn't recognize Caitlin Clark at all. Bumps into her. Both of them fall to the ground. And then Caitlin Clark needs to be helped up. That was the original video you see. Then when you see the reverse angle, you can totally tell that Caitlin Clark has noticed the fans coming and then extends her arms to almost shield herself from getting knocked over, but then flops to the ground anyways.
Okay. So this is okay. This is good. You might be getting some because I see it as okay. I've said for years, this is one of my old man. I've changed my view on this. When I was younger, I loved court storming. I loved it, especially because in my younger teenage days, Duke was like the powerhouse team. Everyone hated Duke. So like on some Wednesday night in like Virginia, like they would upset the Duke Blue Devils and they would storm the court or wherever in the ACC. I loved it. Loved it. I stormed a court myself once. But then as I got older, I realized, holy cow, they are so vulnerable. Like the players are, there's just no protection for them whatsoever. So as I've gotten older, I've sort of went, I don't know if this is such a good idea. You have the student body running out on a basketball court where you have no, you're not in pads, you're not in a helmet, you're not in anything, and you're trying to get to the locker room. So I will say, I wonder if she was trying to make a over, like she's upset they lost. She's the people are storming the court. She's trying to get out there. She probably went, I know if I fall, it'll make news. And maybe she was going through that mindset.
Maybe.
So you're not an expert on flopping and that you flop, but you've watched enough soccer. How would you grade her? How would you grade her flop on a scale of 1 to 10?
Put it on a solid 6.
6?
Yeah, I've seen
could have been better, could have sold it better.
Yeah, she could have definitely flailed the arms a little bit more.
Like, oh!
And then immediately grab her knee or ankle or thigh or arm or head, but then get up and walk off on her own power.
Listen, they had 18,000 people there. That's pretty impressive.
No.
Yeah, they love people love beating either beating Iowa and Caitlin Clark or watching her play. So.